had not thought of speaking at all, had not premeditated anything. But I can tell you something of some of the experiences that I have observed and been in, even some of them myself. And it might help you some this morning. I also had some references from some radio program that I took down purposely to check on it, and I was going to, if I did mention them to you, I was going to speak them, give you the exact words. Inadvertently, I have moved them, and I don't have them, but I can tell you what it is anyway. We are living in perilous times. We're also living in wonderful times. Those who are walking with God, it's wonderful, but also we see the darkness. We see the night coming. We see probably more false teaching or more false prophets and everything rising up than we have seen any time in the past that I know of or even read about. They are rising up now in great abundance. That's exactly according to the Scripture. There shall be in the last days prophets and false teachers, and we're admonished to try the spirits. Now, seemingly there is tremendous, wonderful things being done in some of their meetings, but they're not teaching the Word of God. They're not preaching the truth. They're leading men astray. And this healing matter is not as important that your body should be healed, but many people are being drawn into false teaching through the healing of the body. Now, if the devil is the one, and Jesus indicated and proved that he was, because in all of these cases of sickness and disease, Jesus rebuked the unclean spirits, cast out the devils, and the people were healed. Now, that was something quite new. As far as the Old Testament teaching concerned, they had not seen it on that fashion. But Jesus exposed the devil. He made a show of them openly triumphing over them in it, the Scripture says. He proved that we do have a problem. We do have an enemy of our soul. There is one who is going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And Paul himself had experience with some of those men right in his time, right in his church, that were troubling him and splitting his church and breaking it up, teaching contrary things, so that the Apostle Paul had to say, if any man or an angel from heaven should teach you any other doctrine than that which we have preached unto you, because he got it right from headquarters. I didn't learn this of man. I got this from the Lord Jesus himself when I was, while I was fighting against him. He arrested me on the way and intercepted me, and I inquired of him, and he told me who he was, and then I got my message from him. But nowadays we're getting all kinds of things from all kinds of men, and they've got wonderful miracles. Whoever told you the devil couldn't work miracles? But if the devil is the one that can cripple you, if he takes his hand off of you and leaves you alone, can't you be well? Amen. When Jesus cast the devils out, well, they had no more problems. Now, if the devil can lift his hands off of some people that he has afflicted, just for the sake of healing their body, to lead them astray so that their soul will be lost, because what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and get healed all over from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet and go to hell? Amen. And yet there's more people. They'll go for a healing meeting. They'll go clear across the country or even into other countries to get healed. But they wouldn't go across the street to hear the gospel. I preached gospel and taught people these things, and they wouldn't come across the street to hear it. But they'll go across the country for miles to get a healing. Where is their value? What will it profit a man? Now, we're going to have to be careful. I don't want to speak against any other person, any other preacher, any other church. in his manner of ministry. When he claims to be preaching and teaching in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Holy Ghost and the power of God. But there comes a time when you need to be warned, because false teachers and preachers set themselves up to be God himself. That man of sin, the son of perdition, to talk to you about in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, he exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And we've got false Christ. Jesus said so. False Christ, false prophets will arise, especially in the end time. We're in the end time. There's no question in my mind. No question in a lot of people's mind. We're in the end time. All right, then if we expect those things that Jesus prophesied of and said, behold, I've told you before that so when it comes, you'll know. Then we see them out here. We have a right to look at them. We have a right to try the Spirit. We have a right to see what they're teaching, what they're preaching. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and thy word is truth. So if they're not preaching the truth, doesn't make any difference what kind of miracles they're doing. Don't you follow them. Don't you follow them. No matter how much they claim it's the power of God, no matter how much they speak in tongues, no matter how much they, all of that. But you'll notice if you'll watch carefully, if you're careful. Now, before I go further than that, let me say this. There's nothing the devil would rather do than to destroy a good church. They don't have any problems and troubles out in these churches where they're not preaching the gospel anyway. They have a good time. They have a good fellowship. They just get along beautifully. They build big churches and all that sort of thing. They have no problems. The problem has always been in the middle of God's people. Always has been. Your troubles don't come from outside. They always come from inside the church. It's not the heathen that's troubling us nowadays. Their doctrines are not bothering us. It's the people in the churches that are our trouble. And it's the people in your own church that you're trouble. God never sent us, he gave us every man a part in this. He made us workers together with God. God never reveals everything to one person. He gives something to one, some to another, and some to another, that we can share one with another. That's what communion's all about. And that's what this Holy Ghost communion's all about. And we are so glad to see that somehow God has got into this system that they've had in the churches, and it's kind of stirring the nest up. He's stirring the thing up. Getting people out of their little fixed denominations where they build a wall of creed around about their own little thing and die on the stem if they ever had any life. And most of them did have life when they started out. They had a doctrine. They had something. Every different denomination had a doctrine. And if he'd have shared it, and if others had listened to him and shared one with another, we would have grown into that man-child church that the Bible talks about, and Jesus could have already have come. If even now you knew the thing that belonged to your peace, Jesus told you. But the devil would rather destroy a good church than ten those that are already serving him, more or less. You've got a place here where there's fellowship, where there's love. And if God reveals anything to you, he revealed it to you not to backbite, not to have bitterness, not to argue, not to debate and fight and divide and have schism. He never gave it to you for that. Hast thou faith? Have it unto thyself. Don't try to push your idea. Share with somebody, surely, but in love. Share with one another. Talk to one another about it. But also be ready to be corrected. Be also ready to be instructed yourself, that we may learn one of another. And if you think this church isn't right and is all wrong, don't try to destroy this place. It's one of the best. In fact, as far as I know, it's the best one in the country or any place else. I think you've got a better proposition here than I've ever seen. I've been in this way now, even in the ministry portion of it, for 40 years. Almost that, 38 or roundabout. And I have seen good churches. Right. Oh, they rose, they had revival, they had power, they had healings, they had demonstrations of power, and it was wonderful. And right at the tip-top of their great delight, the devil came in and tore them apart. I've seen lots of them destroyed. Good men, good ministers, their ministry wrecked by allowing fifth columnists to come in. They don't always come in from the outside. They're not all communists or somebody else. But right in the church, you got to take a good person. A good person. Some of them of understanding shall fall, Daniel tells us, in that last day. That they may be purified and made white and tried, because they have not taken heed thereto according to his word, that they should not work in schism and debate and contrariness, but rather through love. You can't force your doctrine. I'll share with anybody, but I won't force them to believe what I teach. That's their problem. I won't condemn another man of God, his servant. If he's doing the best he can, I'll say, God bless him and use him. I'll share with him if he'll let me. If he won't let me, I won't tear his church down. I'll just go on. I never would do that. I could have done that. Oh, I've gone places and preached. Say, brother, we've learned more here in 2 weeks than we've learned in 20 years. We'd sure like to have you for our pastor. I said, you've got a pastor. I could have talked to those people and got them to put me in the pastor like I've seen other preachers do and evangelists do. He was evangelist until the people got to flattering him and then put him in that place, and the other pastor lost his church. Stealing sheep. That's what God called it. Stealing sheep. I never wanted to steal any man's sheep. But these people out here, a lot of them are perfectly willing to steal sheep. The worst problem is, if they had the truth of God, it would be helpful. But when they begin to teach you such things as you hear over the radio, and man, he says, we never talk about the devil. We never speak of the devil. We have no place for that sort of thing. They don't even believe in one. These people are talking about the devil and casting out devil. There isn't any such thing. They don't talk about the blood of Jesus either. They don't talk about a coming judgment. They don't talk about hell. They don't talk about those things that are precious to the Lord, and that you find the Apostle Paul and Jesus. When you hear some of these people preachers, just listen and say, now I'm going to listen. Is he preaching like Paul or John or Peter or Jesus? See? And when he tells you, when he begins to talk about, tells you that you've got a little something over here in a dark red color, something sitting on your dresser, davenport, move it a little bit, because it's in the wrong place. The vibrations are wrong. Look, you better run scared. That's the devil's work. That's the way he has always worked. All manner of things like that. And when he tells you he doesn't believe in the devil, you can know right from the start he's deceived. There's where his whole problem is. He's being used of the devil. And when they make it so that there is no God but love, there's no God but love. First principle. Mind. All the power of the mind. Beware. My God is more than just a first principle. My God is more than just love. And they don't even know what love is. My God is my Father. My God is my Creator. My God is my Keeper. He's my Helper. He's my Healer. He's my Provider. He's my Shepherd. He's my joy and my strength. He's my song and my rejoicing. Oh! My God is real. Someday I'm going to see Him face to face. But these people say you'll never see God. You can't see God. God is love. Principle. Well, when you get so that you can take in Christian Science and unity and heathenism and gurism and all of these heathen things and fit them into your religion, you're in bad shape. You're already in the depths as they speak. Those are the things that I would warn you about in these last days, because they're coming. And miracles? My, you never heard of Jesus or the apostle doing such miracles. But they don't believe the word of God. And when they begin to talk to you about Adam and Eve, or about the flood, or about any of these other great things that God did, allegories, parables, just suggestions. Don't even believe in them. Don't even believe in them. Don't listen to that sort of thing. As soon as you detect that they're not preaching the Word of God, as soon as you realize that they don't even believe in a real existing God who is your Father, who created you from whence you are, you better leave Him right there. Don't waste your time listening to see what He's got. Well, I want to see what else He's got to say. The devil can get into your mind and system if you listen to that long enough. Don't listen to it. Well, I kind of want to know what He's got to say. You do that long enough, and brother, you'll begin to doubt your own salvation. You'll begin to doubt the Word of God. He'll bring in so many things, and they've got such highfalutin words. They've got such scientific, philosophical, and yet, if you listen to them carefully, as I have, you'll find out that those highfalutin words pile one on top of each other so big and so fast, don't mean a thing. They don't say anything either. But you don't know it. You think he's saying philosophy. Oh, he's smart. He's educated. He's deceived to the uttermost. He can talk that way for 5 minutes and never say a thing. I know what I'm talking about because I happen to know the word. But you won't know what he's talking about. You won't know the difference if you don't know the word. Therefore, you shall study to show yourself approved. Search the Scriptures. Believe God's word, not man's word. Preach the word. Pay attention to the doctrines. That's the way Paul taught it. And if any other man preach unto you any other thing, let him be accursed. Know an angel from heaven. The voices. You have somebody come to you. They have a spirit. Yes, but there's all kinds of spirits. Try the spirits to see what manner they're of. They do not acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and gave himself for you, is alive and is sitting at the right hand of power and is coming again for you one of these times. If they don't know that, if they don't teach that, and if they don't rejoice in that, don't you listen to them. Then there are others, and I've seen a number of them. God used them. They don't have to be educated. They can be the poorest, but God can use them to save some soul, usually working among people about their own caliber of education and mentality and speech.
You see, God knows how to win people. He's not going to send somebody. I could go down there and preach sermons. Those people, they wouldn't listen to me for 10 minutes. They'll listen to me for an hour, they wouldn't have it. A lot. Because I don't speak their language. I don't have their philosophy. I don't do their thing. They want somebody that thinks like they do, acts like they do, talks like they do. And God can get to people like that, through people like that. And he may do them good if he'll stay by the word of God and stay and not try to teach the whole thing when he doesn't know the whole thing. Because I've seen preachers that have power. And they love God. There's no question about it. And they magnified the Lord Jesus and they loved him and they believed on him. But when they begin to try to teach the deep things of the Word because people magnified them and made them a preacher, a teacher, when God never sent them to teach, there's a difference. Not every pastor can teach. He should be able to, but not all can. And certainly a man that's called to be a pastor is not necessarily called to be a teacher. God does have teachers, though he may not be a pastor. There are differences, as he has been teaching, in the same offices. Many teachers couldn't pastor. He just doesn't have the... What else it takes to be a pastor? You could teach without any love and still not be able to pastor a people and help a people and love a people. And you may know a lot of things. But it takes more than just knowing things. And it takes more than just love, because I've seen people that just love people to death, and oh, they just love them, but they were teaching them wrong all the time. You see, we're not balanced. We're overbalanced. And in this place, we're trying to teach you not only to know the Word of God, but to love one another and to bear one with another, be patient one with another. God never sent you in here to tear this thing down or bring division. If you've got anything, share it. But don't rush in and try to break it down. Because if you do, you're serving the devil, not God. Because the devil can use a person like that. Paul himself taught about that. Beware of them that cause division. See, because he had them right in his own church. And he didn't say they weren't good people. But if they were not going to be obedient to the word, and love, and patience, willing to share, and to be taught. It's one thing to be able to teach, another thing to be willing to listen and learn your own self. When they begin to, certain ones that I've seen, when they begin to make them teachers, and I've heard this same person that I have in mind, well-known evangelist, power with God, apparently, love God. I've heard him, the people, you see, God will use people to just flatter preachers. Oh, they'll just fall all over themselves. Even though they've got a good pastor, they'll leave a good pastor and follow an evangelist to come through. He just digs, they dig him, see, all of a sudden. And suppose, and if that person was in, I had one come into my church that way one time too. And they never had any fault to find with me, not until he came along. But he got talking to them about how wrong I was about this and that and the other thing. The first thing you know, they won his profession. And there was one man there that I had taken in my close confidence with me in the church. I had built this own church, designed it myself, and so on. And then he wanted to help, so I took him in. Others came in, so we got together just about like you did here, only we didn't do what you've done here. But we did have a building within less than a year, and it was we only owed about $840 on it when we got through. And those were times when I wasn't getting anything. I was getting 35 cents an hour, 2 or 3 days a week there for a week or two. Until they finally found out the skullduggery that was going on, put me back in my job. We had nothing. He had no people with any money. But nevertheless, this same person came in. And when he had moved that congregation, we only had about 60, 70 people, I guess, about that time. And less than that for a full congregation, but we had 70, 75 people sometimes. Within a year when we first started out the church, not very long. This was when we first started. And I had told them, now, I said, we don't want any division in church. We don't want this thing to fall apart like that. We want to preach the truth of God. We want to stay together. And there will come in other people from outside that will try to divide you and all this. But I said, we want a people that will stay together. Well, he was just all for us. But he hadn't anymore and got in there, so he was the very one that the other one dug out. When later on he came to me, after I gave him the church, I said, all right, now you sign this contract with me, I'll give you the church. I'll let you have him. I'll give you this pastor, just like God gave him Saul. I'll let you try him, see how you like him. I gave it to them, and within about a month, they had run that preacher off and came crying to me to take the church back. I said, I don't want that. Now, you've wrecked the whole thing. You've wrecked my confidence and all this and this. I said, and you've taken it over now and made yourself a third. Now you go ahead and run it. I said, why did you do it? I told you about this. I told you that would happen, didn't I? Yes, I know. Well, why did you do it? He said, well, it was just the devil. Well, sure, but then... direct the church. See? And I certainly don't want to see this place wrecked. It's the best one I've ever seen. Because you're getting more truth and less error and are working harder to love one another and to be patient and to share. Now, listen to these others out here, everyone, and have fellowship with everyone that loves Jesus. But when you begin to listen to some of these other things, you'd better leave them alone. Stay out of them. Get away from them. And don't by any means bring division into a good congregation where they are serving God. If you want a church and preach your thing, go get you one. Get one of your own. Teach whatever you want to. But don't wreck somebody else's church. But I'm warning you about many people. Now, some men have been good men. As soon as this man, I've heard him deny that he was any prophet. He didn't claim to be a prophet. He was no prophet. But the people kept insisting that he was, and pretty soon he began to believe it himself. And then he began to hint about it, and the next thing you know, he was declaring it. And God had to just take him away. I believe he was a good man. I think God had to take him or he'd lost him. He took him away quick. Right in the top. But he began to try to teach and he couldn't teach. I heard him preach a whole sermon, a long sermon through this Bible, using a certain scripture in there, and the word he was using was not the word that was in the scriptures at all. It was another word entirely. He never did know the word or what it meant. And he never knew what was in the scriptures. He was teaching all the time on something that the Bible didn't say. He thought he was on the one. Like the man that preached on the oyster man. The oyster man. Because he read in there where Jesus had told him of the parable, the man came back to collect his talents and what they had done for him while he was gone. And one of them said, well, I knew that thou wast an austere man, or you knew that I was an austere, hard, demanding man. You knew that I was going to demand something of you, and I left it for you that you might use it to my advantage. Why didn't you do something with it? But he read it, oyster man, and so he got up and preached a marvelous sermon about how wonderful oysters are and how good they are for your health, although they're one of the worst things in the world. They carry more diphtheria and scarlet fever and all other things like that than anything else in the world almost, so that they, even though the government makes them shut down a certain time because of it. But it's that sort of thing, you know, that people just gobbly swallow it down and just make an idol out of an evangelist or a preacher. Now, there's some on the radio now that apparently they think they're serving God and doing great things.
And they've got so great now that that's about all they can talk about is their own greatness. And when they do that, Satan's got them. He won't bother to break up that church. That preacher will take care of that. Long as he can lead them astray, long as he can get them offside, long as he can think he's the only preacher and the only one who knows anything. And we've got some like that. They scare me to death. And I can't listen to them, but I don't have to hear but a few words. The Holy Spirit of God in me makes me know, and then I listen carefully to see what they're teaching and preaching, and I can discern it. And I pray for them. I pray for these people. I say, oh God, that person doesn't know that he's in that condition. He doesn't know he's doing that. God, help your people. Everyone that names the name of Jesus, help them to walk through your word, Lord.
Amen.
But they're leading people astray, and they're leading them into Babylon. Some of them are including all people. Oh, it doesn't make any difference who you are unless you're Jesus' name, baptized in name. We don't want anything to do with them. But all others, even the heathen, we'll take all of the others. Doesn't make any difference who they are, except these. That's the way most of them are. Now you watch it. If you don't believe it, you'll run into it. You'll know that truth. Those that are closest to the Lord Jesus, they don't want. But people that are far off, worshiping idols and heathen. If God is only pure thought and all of that, and he can take in everything, and these vibrations and everything can be the determination, and miracles, they can work miracles. Three unclean spirits coming out of the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, working miracles to deceive the whole world. And people are falling for it. We've got a good church here. You'd better stay in it and stay with it. And we don't want to lose any people. But I want to tell you, if you begin to think that you can tear down God's work, or you think that you know it all, or you think that you can't love your people and stay with them and bear and learn one of another, then the devil is using you. You'd better believe it. He'll use you. And even if you say, oh, no, I know he's not. Well, if he isn't now, he will, if you keep on going in that direction. You'll get to the place where he will. In fact, he already is. Because any niche, any crevice that he can get a crack, that he can drive a wedge, is a beginning of the downfall. And the devil is here to destroy. That's one of his names, the Destroyer. That's his chief name, Destroyer. Be careful of what you listen to. Don't listen to these things on the radio if they're not preaching God's word. You find a man that's preaching himself. He's the prophet. He's the last prophet. He's the only prophet. And all of this sort of thing. He only has the truth. You will watch out for that. Watch out for that. And then see if he's preaching the truth. But if he is, he won't have to tell you about it. He'll just preach it. He won't have to brag about it and tell you that he's the greatest one. Everybody will begin to see it. But when they begin to talk about themselves, you begin to watch them. Be careful. We're in the last day. They'll deceive, if possible, the very elect of God. If possible, it is possible, some of the very elect will be tried, as it tells you in Daniel 11:32-35, some of those of understanding shall fall. They'll be helped with a little help, but some even of God's elect, and who do know and have known the truth, will stumble. They'll be deceived, or they'll feel that they can work with them. Compromise, see? They're like the communists. Coexistence with the devil. There is no such thing as coexistence with the devil.
Amen.
What part hath a believer with an infidel? What part hath Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an infidel or the works of the devil with the works of righteousness? There is no fellowship. There's no coexistence there. Come out from among them, saith the Lord. Be ye separate, because God's people have always been a separated people unto God. Not a narrow-minded people, a separate people unto God. Don't be narrow-minded, but be ye separate. Touch not the unclean. Then I'll be a God unto you, and you shall be my people.